Morning. Thank you for being with us. My name is Charles Morgan. This morning I'm going to be in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to be reading about a guy that has intrigued me since I was a kid. And once I read it, some of you are going to go, yeah, me too. And understand why. Verse 1 of chapter 19, Luke says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just ask that you bless this scripture as it's read. God, we thank you so much. You know it's your word. Just be with me as I expound upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now you know why I said this about this story. This was a song when I was a little kid. We always sang Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. We always sang this and we'd get up there and we loved this and had little gestures to it. But as an adult, I realize how strong and powerful this story is and why we need it and need to understand it. And I'm just more and more in love with it every time I read it. And I think it speaks in volumes to everyone. Now, Zacchaeus was obviously not a great guy. According to our standards, we would look at him. Jesus was passing through Jericho. Jesus didn't do anything by happenstance. I mean, we talked about the woman at the well. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." So everything he does, everything he did, was for a purpose and for a reason. And this is the same way. He passed through Jericho and said there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, I've read different things and heard different commentaries and people disputing what a publican is. I'm not even going to get into that, but he was a publican, so a lot of them say he was tax collector, whatever. He was rich. He was a publican. He was probably an unliked figure. He'd gained his money by reading the backside of it. We can see that he gained his money probably by cheating people and not doing the right things, but Zacchaeus was rich, and it said he sought Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The first thing that speaks out to me is it doesn't matter how much money you have. Everyone is enamored with people with money and say, well, they must be happy. But then you hear these people that have got all the money that they ever wanted, and a lot of times they're not happy because it didn't buy them happiness. You know, it can't buy happiness. But we look at this and we think, well, you know, so-and-so's got money, and they're great, and they're this. And, you know, you may be looking at people and go, well, I need money. Money's not it. You know, rich people need Jesus. Poor people need Jesus. People in between need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus, and Jesus is for everyone. So this rich guy, and you say, well, what did he need Jesus for? And I've heard people say that. Well, I've got a job. I got this. And, you know, well, why do I need Jesus? But later on in their life, when things are going bad, they've changed their tune. They're looking at it and going, I do need Jesus, you know, because things are falling apart now. But, you know, a lot of times we see them and we think, oh, I've got it all. You know, everything's going good. It doesn't matter what you have. Jesus is still for you. Jesus still wants you. It doesn't matter how much you have, how much you don't have. It doesn't matter anything about this. This rich man obviously had a hole that only God could fill. And I've been told time and time again, I really believe this, we're born with a God-shaped void that's the only thing that will fit there. And he was looking for this, and he needed something else, and he said he sought to see Jesus. Folks, this morning, the first thing I need to tell you right now is you need to seek to see Jesus. You're going to hear about Jesus, and you're going to hear about what he's come to do. You need to seek Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, you're poor. It doesn't matter what you have, what you don't have, what you think of yourself, what you don't think of yourself. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. God didn't make any mistakes. And you can't compare yourself to anyone because you're unique. In everything, even our science tells us that now. Through this DNA analysis, we know that we have an individuality that is unique to us, and God did that. God made us that way. So you need to seek to see Jesus. He said he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He'd heard about him. He'd heard about him. I've heard about this guy. I've heard some really good things, and I want to know who he is. Who is this man? Who he was? And that's what it is. You may have heard about Jesus. You may have heard some things that are right. You may have heard some things that are wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's Savior of the world. He's the only one that can forgive sin. He's the only one that can allow you into heaven through his gift that he's given us by dying on the cross and defeating death so that we can have eternal life. That's who Jesus is. And that's who he said, I'm seeking to see who he was. Look, you need to know who he is. He's not some just benevolent guy that will give you whatever you want when you want it. He is the Savior of the world. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. You know, he's all of those things, but he is God incarnate. And that's, he came down from heaven to die on the cross for us, to defeat death for us so that we don't have to experience that spiritual death. That's who he is. That's who Zacchaeus was looking. And said he could not see for the press. Now we see that also where we read the story of the ones that brought the man of palsy. It said the press. You know, that's not the media. So don't think that is the crowd was so thick and so heavy he couldn't see anything. He couldn't get up there. Those guys that were taking their friend to see Jesus, they couldn't get to the house because of the crowd that was around it. They couldn't get in that front door. They couldn't get to where they wanted to go. Zacchaeus couldn't get to where he wanted to go. He couldn't see this man. He wanted to get a glimpse of him. He wanted to see something about him. He said, I've heard about this guy. I need to see him. Folks, don't let anything stop you. You know, you may be getting up going out and you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus and something happens. Don't let those obstacles stop you. And you people, you're children of God. Don't let the obstacles stop you from telling somebody about Jesus Christ or seeing that they get to someone that can. And you say, well, my pastor or my preacher, whatever, is the only one that can talk to people. I can't do it. Then you make it your mission in life. You make sure that you can do it. You get them into that church or you take them down to his house or you do whatever you can to make sure that he is told or she is told about Jesus Christ. You make sure of that. Do not allow these obstacles in life to stop you. He was to a point that he wanted to do this, and he said because he was little of stature, he couldn't see out. And I'll tell you, when I think of this, I mean, I always have, and it always comes to my mind, a Christmas parade. People would line up. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we would go up to Walnut Ridge, and we'd go to these Christmas parades, and they'd be going down through there throwing candy, and without the help of my folks or somebody else that would lift me up, I couldn't see. We couldn't get up in front, you know, and so they'd lift me up and allow me to see because I was too short at that time to see. And so I had assistance from somebody. And so I can understand what he's talking about. He was small. He couldn't see over the people and he wanted to see that. And that's where we get the song. He was a wee little man. I don't know how tall he was. It doesn't tell us. It just says that he was small of stature. So he wasn't a tall guy and he couldn't tell anything about that. And it said, and he ran before. So I can just see him. He's trying to jump up. He's trying to see something and he gets ahead of where Jesus is being. And maybe the crowds are a little bit thinner there, but he knows they're going to gather up. And so he's doing everything he can to see Jesus. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is right here. He's right here. I'm telling you right now, you can go to him. You can drop to your knees. You can talk to him right now. You can say, Lord, I want to talk to you. I've got something on my heart. I need to express to you. You don't have to run ahead of him. You don't have to do that. You can go to him right now. He's open to you. You got something in your life as a child of God you need to bring to him. You can do it right now. You can talk to him. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can tell him right now. Hey, I want you. I want to confess you as Lord and God. I want you to take this burden of sin away from me. Bible tells us that we've all got that. It said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says. That's all. Everybody, no matter who you are. Zacchaeus was coming to that realization. So you got to come to that realization. You got to know I'm in all. I've sinned. You know, it's not that I stole a piece of candy when I was a kid or I picked up a pencil on the way out of work and didn't mean to. No, it's that sin nature. You know, the Bible tells us by one man sin was brought in the world, and it was Adam. And by one man sin was paid for, and that was Jesus, Jesus the Christ. He said he ran before, and he said he climbed a sycamore tree. And I didn't even know what a sycamore tree was when I was a kid, but I thought, man, they got to be a great tree for a man to climb up into it to see Jesus. And that's what he was doing. No obstacle was going to stand in his way. He was too small to see, so he climbed up in this tree. He thinks that he is going to notice Jesus. He thinks that when Jesus comes by, he's going to get something out of it by just seeing him. He thinks that he is seeking Jesus. He thinks that he is doing it all. But he's going to get a rude awakening here. Something's going to happen that he's going to realize that Jesus was seeking him. And I'm telling you right now, you may be looking for Jesus, and I told you, don't let anything stand in your way. I'm telling you right now, he's seeking you. He's seeking you. He gets up to where Jesus, or he gets up in the tree, and Jesus is coming up to where Zacchaeus is. And it looked at it, and I remember this. In that song, we put our hand to our head, you know, like we were looking up, you know. And he looks up, and he calls him by name. He doesn't look up and go, hey, you little guy up in the tree. He didn't have that vague realization of him. Jesus knows you. He calls you by name right now, saying, come. And one day, if you belong to him, he's going to call you by name and call you up. I truly believe in a calling out. We call it a rapture, but he's going to pull us out. Some people don't. I do. I truly do. He's going to pull us out of this world, and then that tribulation is going to happen. But I truly believe I'm going to hear my name, because that's what he said to Zacchaeus. That's what he said to Lazarus when he called him out of the tomb. He calls people by name. He doesn't just give you this vague thing of, hey, you over there. You know, how many times have you seen somebody that you've met before and you can't remember their name? You cannot remember their name. Everything in you wants to remember their name. You try all those things that would help you out, those associational things that would give you their name back, and you like, I can't remember their name. And so you say things to them, you know, like you, and you know, those kind of things, but you cannot remember their name for everything. Jesus had never met Zacchaeus, and he knew his name. He knows you because he made you. He created you. So he looks up and he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. And he tells him, make haste. He said, hurry up. Hurry up. He said, and come down. He said, for today, right now, not tomorrow, not when you get old and you got nothing to live for or on your deathbed. He said, today, I must abide in your house. Today, I must abide in your house. Now, I'm going to tell you, that means so much. He said, I must. Zacchaeus, I'm there for you. I'm there for you today. Jesus is there for you right now. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what you're going through. Everybody's going through something. This world's going through stuff. And individually, everybody's going through something. Jesus is there for you right now. Jesus is calling you number one to salvation. He's saying, won't you accept this free gift I'm going to give you? I've already paid for it. It's here. You can have it. It's done. Please take it. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for I must abide at thy house. It's a very personal pronoun. It's to him alone. He's not talking to anybody else in that crowd at that point. He's telling Zacchaeus, you. I want you. You are an individual. I want to be at your house. I want to come there. Zacchaeus could have said, no, I don't think so. Now look, he said, I was just trying to get a look at you. I just want to see what you look like, what you were wearing. Heard a lot of hype about you, but you know, I've seen you and I'm done. You know, I don't need anything else. And Zacchaeus could have said that. And so many people do. So many people reject Jesus. Jesus talked about this, that Few are going to find that narrow way. Few are going to really accept it. Few are going to take it. You know, they're going to go that broad way. And Zacchaeus had all that opportunity to say, no, I really don't want you to. Or, you know, hey, that's a really cool invitation, but somebody else probably needs you more. No. Instead, what did he do? He answered. Look, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus all the time. Jesus was looking for him. Zacchaeus did what he could. He made a way to see Jesus, but Jesus had already seen him. Jesus calls him. He makes an invitation. Now, a lot of times people will talk about this in Revelation where it says, I stand at the door and knock. He's actually talking about churches there. He's talking about churches, and he's standing at the door, and they're not answering. He said, I'll come in if you want me to. And I think that's the fate of the world that we're in right now, that churches are not allowing Jesus in. I really think so. I think we're seeing that time and time again. People are not coming into churches because Jesus is really not there. We think he is, and we talked about that many times. I'm not going to get into that again, but there is an invitation to individuals, and it's a constant invitation. It's, you know, Holy Spirit is drawing people. And I think it's getting quicker and quicker, but, you know, saying more and more urgent because time is getting shorter and shorter for Jesus to come back. But he calls to him and Zacchaeus answered in the affirmative. I want you to know right now, you need to answer it today. You need to answer him today. He said, today, Hebrews tells us to harden not our hearts today as in the day of the provocation, not today. Don't do it today. Answer him today. Give it all to Jesus right now. Don't go back on it. Don't say, oh, well, I'll have another day. You know, this isn't a time that you can consider things. I've done that before, you know, in buying things. Like, well, I'll just think about it a little bit and then call back and go, nope, it's already sold. You know, don't do that. You never know when the world's going to end. You don't know when your life is going to end. We see time and time again, and I tell people all the time, the obituaries do not discriminate against anybody. Age, color of skin, socioeconomic background, it doesn't matter. They don't discriminate. You can get in there and you can see infants, teenagers, younger people, middle-aged people, old people, it doesn't matter. None of them really knew exactly when they were going to die. Maybe some of them had an inkling, you know, I don't have long. Some of them, it happened in an instant. Things are over. I was telling my family, I was sitting out on a roll-around stool in my garage, and I was working on something, putting it together, and a weld broke, and it flipped backwards. And I mean, in an instant, I was on the ground. And I said, there was really no time to stop. I mean, it just happened so quickly. And I've talked to people like that. And I've talked to people that have been in accidents and automobile accidents that came out of it and said, it happened so quickly. I don't even really remember it. We don't know. So today, won't you accept Jesus Christ today? He said that he made haste. I would have loved to know what Zacchaeus said. I mean, completely. I mean, I would have loved to have seen the reaction of Zacchaeus up in that tree. And Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I just can't imagine that. You know, he said my name. He said my name, you know, and not only that, he wants to go to my house. You know, here I was just trying to get a glimpse of him. And so he gets down, you know, and all the time Zacchaeus wanted more than a glimpse. He wanted to know who he was. We've been told that. He said he made haste. He got quick. He didn't mess around. He didn't say, well, you know, hey, why don't you hang out here for a while and I'll go home and I'll get the hot dogs on or something. You know, he said he made haste and he came down and it says he received him joyfully. So I know he was happy. I know he wasn't sad. I know he wasn't going, oh, I don't know. You know, I hadn't cleaned up or nothing, you know. I'm not ready for guests. No, he said he received him joyfully. Folks, when you accept Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you're going to be joyful. There's rejoicing in the midst of the angels when one soul gets saved, and we know that. So you're going to receive him joyfully. Don't put it off. Accept Christ. You know, don't say, well, I don't know about it. I'm telling you, no one that I've ever met that accepted Christ go, you know, I wish I'd have waited. I really had some living to do. I've had people tell me I've got some living to do and won't accept him, but no one I've ever talked to has said, I wish I'd have waited. I do hear this a lot, though. Why didn't I accept Christ first when it was first presented to me? Why didn't I accept him earlier? Why didn't I do this? You know, I've got family members I could have been worshiping with that are gone on, and they've got all kinds of these things in their head, you know, but why didn't I do it before now? That's usually what I hear. And accept him today. Zacchaeus did. He accepted him, and he said, I want to accept him right now. He said, and then when they saw it, Now, let me tell you something about they. They will tell you a lot of things. And people will say, well, you know what they say? You know, I don't know who all they is, but they talk a lot. They gossip. They get on the party line we used to have. They get on the bench at the coffee shop. They do a lot of things, and they do a lot of talking that isn't worth a hill of beans. You don't need to be listening to they because they will lead you astray. They will cause you a lot of angst. They will cause you problems. They will talk about you in mean ways that aren't even true. So they have been there for a long time, and they were there here as well. Said when they saw it, who's they? These people. They. We all know they, don't we? Maybe we've been they at one time or another, and we don't need to be. But it said when they saw it, they all murmured. Now, I like this, you know, it's just blah, 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 you know, that's what I think of a murmur. They were talking under their breath. They weren't being real vocal about it. They didn't want everybody to hear it. They just want to talk amongst themselves. And they murmured about this, you know, created this little noise, that starts in things. That's the way rumors are. They start out as a little murmur, as a little thing, and they can grow into great things. And, even when they're not true, they can still grow. That, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Rumors will spread. And I'll tell you what, a lie, will spread, and a bigger lie will spread even faster. And it'll be like a snowball going downhill. I have never actually experienced this, but I've seen it so many times on television. Snowball starts and it just rolls down and just keeps on growing and growing and growing. Well, that's what a rumor will do. And that's what they are good at. And they do this. So they murmured saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, I want you to understand this. They're not even murmuring against Zacchaeus. They're murmuring against Jesus now. How about that? Now, everybody goes, well, I don't want anybody talking bad about me. I don't want anybody mad about me when I tell them about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus. They weren't talking about Zacchaeus. They were saying, look at him. He's going to be with sinners. Why didn't he come home with me? I'm a great person. You know, I've got Bible verses on my cabinets and my house everywhere. I've got, things on my back window in my car, and I got bumper stickers. I've got it all. Why didn't he come home with me? Probably because that's all you got. You got scriptures written around, and you got nothing in your heart. That may be why he's not coming home with you. How about that? Zacchaeus was getting a visit from Jesus. Zacchaeus had a heart that was ready to plant. He was ready to harvest. He was right then. He was prepared in his heart. You need to prepare your heart. And if you don't have your heart prepared, and I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you've gone to church for 750 years, because some of you seem like you're that old. You've been baptized in green persimmon juice, and you're as bitter as you can be, but you've sat in a pew for as long as you know. You've never led anybody to Christ, and the reason being because you don't have Jesus in your heart. You need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus right now and be a changed person, a new creature, because that's what Zacchaeus was getting ready to be. But they were murmuring against Jesus and saying, why did he save him? Why would he go with him? How many times have I heard this? And I've heard it a bunch of people. Well, I can't believe he's saved. I don't know if he's really saved. I don't know if she's really saved. You know what kind of life they live? That's a person whose heart is hardened. We ought to be rejoicing somebody gets saved. And I'll tell you what, I've seen people drive people almost insane after they get saved, rejecting them. Well, they're not changed enough. They're still wearing that same clothes. And, you know, they've got tattoos, and they've got this, and they've got that. Folks, I don't care who they are. They get saved. We ought to rejoice with them. We ought to bring them in. We ought to start teaching them. Zacchaeus was ready. Zacchaeus had met Jesus. Zacchaeus was going to have him dwell with him. Now, folks, when you get saved, you get indwelt. You get indwelt with God. You can call it the Holy Ghost. You can call it whatever you want. You get indwelt with God. And he's there. Zacchaeus was bringing Jesus home. Won't you bring Jesus home today? Don't you want Jesus? He said, and Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, I look at this and I say, there's more to the story. There's a rest of the story. You see, Paul Harvey used to do that, the rest of the story. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey. The rest of the story is somebody had told Zacchaeus about salvation. Somebody had shared with him about what this Jesus had done in their life. how he had changed them, how he had converted them. I truly believe that because Zacchaeus knew, and he looked at Jesus and he said, it's all true. I accept it. I accept it. I don't just know it. I just don't think it. I accept it. I bring it in. Now, he was ready to return anything that he cheated people with. That is an indication of a changed life. True. Now, we don't know. We don't get the rest of it. But folks, I've seen changed lives. I've seen changed lives, and you can't convince me that they haven't. Now, listen to this. Verse 9. Jesus looks at him, and he said, this day is salvation come to this house. So much else as he also is a son of Abraham. He's also a Jew. He's not just accepting God, he's accepting his Messiah, his son, Jesus Christ. He said, salvation has come to this house. And you say, well, you don't know if he's saved or not. Yeah, I do too, because Jesus said he was. Hey, Jesus said it. It's true. You know, that's one of those things. Jesus talks, you better be listening. And you better be paying attention. You better know that what he's saying is true. And this verse 10, this is it. Now listen to this. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said in John 3:17. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I come to save it. I come to save it. And he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And he gives some great parables in the Bible about this. But this is it, the saying. I come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was seeking Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got up and thought he was looking for Jesus. All the while, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He was just waiting for him to get in a tree. Folks, climb the tree this morning. Get up in the tree and say, hey, I need to see Jesus. Maybe this whole world has got you muddled down and you can't see anything for that. Get up in the tree. Get up in the old sycamore tree and look for Jesus because he's looking for you. And he'll come by and he'll say, hey, there, John or Dave or Sally or Nancy or whatever your name is. He's going to look at you and go, hey, I need to come to your house today. I don't need to stay here. I don't need you to just come into this church house and say, you got me, and then leave me here. I need you to take me home. I need you to have me in your home and tell everybody this is where Jesus lives. Folks, that's what we need today too. We need Jesus in our homes. It needs to be constant. It doesn't need to be something we just grasp onto when things are bad. It is there for us when those things happen. But Jesus is there for us all the time. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. But Jesus knew him. Didn't matter. Jesus knew him. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew his name. He was seeking Jesus. He sought to see Jesus, and he climbed up in that tree. Jesus came by and said, hey, I need to go to your house today. Zacchaeus said, come on down. I think of Andy Griffith episode a lot of times when, Zacchaeus would look at him and go, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm ready to go. Yeah, come on. Let's go. Let's go on home, you know, and he accepted him. And even though the people murmured against Jesus, Jesus still went. Jesus is not worried about what other people say. I'm going to tell you that right now. Jesus is not worried about all these people and what they're going to say about you. You accept Jesus Christ and then you go to a local church and you join up with them and you worship with them and you tell them because Jesus said, hey, if you'll deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father, which means if you deny me, you're not really serious about this. Go and tell somebody that you accepted Jesus Christ. If you accepted Jesus Christ today, I want you to understand, all you got to do, you got to confess that the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what it says. You can have eternal life today. And I hope you have eternal life, but you need to get with some people and tell them, hey, I want to start studying this Bible. Let some people teach you. Let some people show you. You don't have to know the whole Bible to accept Jesus Christ. I want you to know that right now. All you got to know is that you're a sinner. And Jesus died for your sins, and that you can accept that free gift, and it's available to everyone, everyone, everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. And I hope that you will. I hope you'll accept that free gift this morning. Get on your knees, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I want this free gift. How's it working for you doing it by yourself? Probably not very good, but you can have somebody there with you, Jesus Christ. You see, Zacchaeus took Jesus home with him. And Jesus never left him. He was always with him. That's what he says. I'll be with you always. Always. Never leaving you. Won't you accept that free gift? My name's Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day today. May God bless you.